If you want to learn the secret on how to bring more balance into your life, with your business, and with your family, listen on to our next guest. Everybody, this is Jake Senzio, host of Jake and Gino Podcast, with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barber. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing great, brother. How are you doing? You ready to go today?
Are you recording? That's my only question. Is this thing on? Hello? Is this recording?
I don't know. I hit the button after you told me like 20 seconds. This is only our third podcast that we record in our lives. So, you know, what happens when you're new.
Hey, man, we're making it happen. Got a great guest today. Today's guest is a passionate entrepreneur and business coach who believes that everyone has potential to create their own success. So without further ado, Patrick Cummings, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me. You guys already have been pretty entertaining, so I'm looking forward to this.
Hey, it is our pleasure. Let's get to know each other a little bit. Tell us about your background and how you got started in business.
Yeah, so going clear back to college, when I got out of school, my wife was in veterinary medical school. And so I went to work basically any job I could up to the point where she graduated from veterinary school. And then after that, I went to work in corporate America, worked for a chemical company, actually, that was based in Basel, Switzerland. U.S. headquarters was in Greensboro. And at the time, I felt like a corporate pawn because they'd call me on, you know, the typical corporation and pick you up and move you and your family would come later. And you do whatever you could to make the forecast. And I did that for about 11 years and realized that on my son's fourth birthday, I'd spent one entire year of his life driving, looking through a windshield to go see clients. And I just decided to make a change. And I grew up pretty humble beginnings, single mom, didn't know anything about money other than the fact that I needed to make it as much as I could to help her and not have the cupboards bare at the end of the month. But I was talking to my broker and decided in late 1999, stock market was on fire. I was going to get in the investment business because I like to teach. And so I made a huge career change, gave up an expense account, company vehicle every 18 months, the whole deal, to kind of start my own thing, because I believed at the time that I could work when I wanted, how hard I wanted, just to find out that that company, I had my own office, supposedly my own boss, but they were pretty hard on me about daily revenue. And so I made a change then in 2004. And opened a wealth management practice with another firm. And since then, I've been working in the wealth management practice and coaching some younger folks throughout that time frame, and made a lot of changes because I made a lot of mistakes with young kids. In my book, I talk about being raised by a dad who wasn't around much because he was a workaholic.
When you're saying young kids, are you talking about the folks that worked for you or your actual kids that you have?
Oh, that's a great one. My actual kids.
Okay.
I made a lot of mistakes with employees too, right? But you know, mostly my kids. I worked way too much. You know, as an entrepreneur, you say you want to have time freedom, and I certainly didn't have that, or at least I didn't take advantage of it. So, you know, got into running my own business, and here we are, 22 years later, and having a lot of fun.
Patrick, let's dive into the relationship that you had with your father and how that impacted your course of events and how you were starting to parent your children.
Yeah, it's a tough question, right? It's an emotional question. My dad left when I was five. My brother moved to be with him when I was nine, and raised by a single mom. We didn't have a lot. I didn't know that, but I would see my dad every other weekend for a day, sometimes 2 days, but I would say the vast majority of the time I saw him, I was at work with him, and he was an athletic director, public administration in school. And so for a school employee to make more money, what do they have to do? They have to contract out and do more jobs. And And my dad was all about work and performance. And, you know, looking back, I remember him talking about his dad. And his dad worked in the logging camps in Montana, and he worked 6 days a week. Of course, it was a depression back then. And my dad said, your job is to provide. And so, you know, moving forward, I wanted a better life for my kids than what I had grown up. And it was really a mistake because I spent so much time working because that's all I knew. My dad told me that's what you have to do. And, bless his heart, I lost him 3 years ago, but if you know the coach, Bobby Knight, my dad, his demeanor, Bobby Knight was his hero, right? And so being raised by that is you perform at a high level or you don't do anything. And
sounds like you probably get yelled at a lot too.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember one time, it was funny. My dad was also, one of his other jobs was teaching driver's ed. And I remember he was teaching me to drive. It was an old Ford Fiesta, manual transmission. And we were stopped at a stoplight and it got stuck between first and second gear. It wouldn't actually move. And my dad was kicking the stick shift, screaming that I had to get out of the intersection. And I actually got out of the car and walked away and left him in the car. That was a fun day. But
you're starting to, you know, kind of mature a little bit there. This sounds like that song, The Cat's in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon.
The Cat's in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon.
History's repeat itself, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it brings a tear to my eye, actually. But so being raised in that, you know, they talk about generational sin, and my grandfather taught my dad, you know, the leather strap for sharpening his razor was used for more than sharpening his razor, on my dad. And, you know, my dad never beat me, never beat my brother, but he was pretty hard on us about work ethic. And not saying work ethic's bad, but to the point of, is there any balance? And unfortunately, my dad was divorced multiple times, and I just didn't get to see him very much. And we made amends late in life. And I don't ever want to have the regret that my dad had at the end of his life, you know, as far as wishing he'd have done things different. And, you know, we all are where we are today. Tomorrow's the first day of the rest of our life. What do we want that to look like with our kids and with our families and with our spouses and with work? What do we want it? And so I encourage people to write that down and design that from today moving forward, because if you don't, you get caught up in the rat race of life.
Patrick, can you share the story of how you were going down that same path with your wife during the week? You're working, and on the weekends, she's away at the veterinary school. And for anyone out there who wants to become a veterinarian, great calling, great job. One of the highest suicide rates. People love their pets, but obviously they don't like to pay for their pets. So it's like one of the most demanding, tough jobs. But can you share that story of how she's out the door and you're like, if we don't fix something, she's going to be out the door and leave forever?
Oh, yeah. So I remember it like it was yesterday, and it's probably 14, 15 years ago now. But so I was working during the week. And she was working two jobs, actually. One, her primary job, she was working in a town that was 35 miles away. But she would leave on either Friday night or Saturday morning and then come home typically on Monday if she had a real bad day. And she was working 24-hour shifts that whole weekend. And so, you know, for me, it was Mr. Mom on the weekends. I was trying to run a business, you know, really didn't have the gears fully engaged at that point in time with the business. Every month you started over at zero. And so there was a lot of stress, excuse me. And she and I were really growing apart, and she was raised obviously different than I was. She, you know, disciplined the kids different than I did. And she was leaving on these weekends, and we'd literally pass each other in the hall, like two roommates that were mad at each other. And she left this particular weekend, and I was pretty convinced that she was going to come home on Monday and say, I don't want to do this anymore. And in my mind, I had made the decision that I didn't want to do it anymore either. And I had made the decision that if that was going to happen, she could have the house, she could have 401k plans, but I was taking the kids. And lo and behold, my wife, who's very introverted, called a pastor of our church and said, "We have some problems. We need some help." And pastor of my church, Charlie Couch, bless his heart, called me on that weekend and he said, "You be in my office Tuesday morning." And we started a path to try and repair things. And it wasn't that we fought. We didn't fight really at all. It was, I'd come home and there'd be a big fight between her and the kids and I'd get in the middle of it. And it was just really bad tension. And then of course I'd work hard all weekend and not have any time with her on the week or on the week and not have any time with her on the weekend. And so, you know, we started that process of meeting with the pastor of our church and I joined a men's group and we ended up eventually meeting a marriage group and we started back dating one day a week. And at first we loved each other, but we didn't like each other. We joke about that today. And, you know, here we are 14 years later and we're still dating every Thursday. And we make it a point that if we can't do that for whatever reason, that we either make it up Thursday night or we go to lunch on Friday, but we schedule that time together. But, you know, we were on the default mode of our parents. Her parents got divorced when she was a sophomore in high school, and talking to her about that, you know, they never showed affection in front of the kids, in front of her and her brother. Her dad was, again, generational sin, right? The woman wasn't supposed to work. My wife was the first one that ever went to school in their entire family. And all she knew was, you know, giving up. And all I knew was pack the stuff in the car and give up. Just like I said, I was going to take the kids. She could have everything else. That's what we both knew. And so, you know, I remember sitting in the pastor's office and we were sitting next to each other, which I didn't want to be, but we were sitting next to each other. And he said, "Pat, you know, are you going to have an affair? Are you ever going to leave?" And I said, "I will never leave and I will never have an affair. But if she wants to leave, I'm okay with that." And that was a massive turning point, I think, in our relationship, because she realized that I was willing to work at it, but my wife's not a communicator. And so, you know, that was a big change for us. And what's amazing now, she still doesn't have the greatest relationship with our daughter, which, I mean, that's a lot of moms and daughters, but our kids ask me frequently, you know, "Why did you guys ever stay together?" And it's your kids recognize and know way more than you think they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it was a tough time. My wife, this whole book process and what I'm trying to do, it's almost like I've, you know, created a mission for myself to help people stay together, marriages stay together, and then maybe not lose a child. She read the first three chapters of the book, put it down. She can't pick it up because it's still too painful for her to go back and look through what we went through. But at the same time, the success that she and I had, you know, now, because we're still together.
In the book, let's talk a little bit about the balancing act. What recommendations or what strategies or techniques do you use to be able to balance between family and business?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people ask me that question. What is balance? Help us understand what balance is, because you can't run a business and work 8, 10, 12 hours a day and then go home and spend 8, 10, 12 hours a day with your kids. And so it's not an even, you know, let's set up this scale and make sure it's equivalent. But the balance is when people say that they're going to be involved. People say that they're going to be at a sporting event or a ballet or, you know, a piano recital, something, that they actually do it and they engage. And when I mean engage, how many times have you guys gone out to dinner and you look around the restaurant and everybody there is glued to their device, their mobile device?
It's because of these damn menus now with the QR codes. You want to get me started on something. If I go into another place, I'm about to break some shit. I am so sick of that because it's a pet peeve. I would be embarrassed to be at a restaurant and have my head down looking at my phone. And these bastards are forcing us to do it now to log in because I think it's embarrassing. If you go out to a restaurant, you should be engaged with the other person and not have the damn thing out. And now they're putting it in front of you. So they're making it even worse to be present and communicate. Yes, that's a pet peeve of mine. Thank you.
Yeah. Jake, and how do you go to a restaurant.
How do you really feel, Jake? I mean, do you really feel that strongly
me,
about
Gino.
It?
Okay.
It angers you, and I apologize for angering you this early in the morning. But the next time you go to one of those restaurants, ask them for a printed
Throw the phone
copy.
At them.
Ask them for a printed copy.
Oh, I have.
And if they don't give you one, leave, right?
I start scratching my head. You ever see Zoolander when they're trying to get the files out of the computer? Yeah, that's me. Okay.
But you know, in all seriousness, and I understand what you're saying completely, we are so connected anymore that, you know, I had an Apple Watch and I thought it was cool and it was tracking my health and all this stuff and it'd tell me I need to get up. And
you're like, that's what I need.
Do whatever, right? I don't wear it anymore because, you know, I'm sitting in meetings with clients or with my team. And that crazy thing on your wrist now is vibrating. And so you're constantly looking down at it, which tells the person in front of you that you're, you know, they're less important than whoever.
Can I have a shock collar, please? Anybody got a shock collar for me?
Yeah.
Guys, here's the best practice too. And it's something I don't share that often. When I'm home, I treat my phone as if it's glued to the wall and a rotary phone. I keep it in my office. And when I walk out of my office, it stays in there because I don't want the damn thing glued to me. And yep. It stays down there at night. I'm not sleeping with it. Okay. You know, I got my wife for that. I'm going to leave the phone downstairs and have a relationship that way. It's just, I think the time away from it is important. And at every step of the way, they're trying to force it. So plug it in, leave it in a room. You'll be able to hear it. It's not going anywhere.
So. Yeah. So I think that's part of it. You know, we have to become unconnected. For me at the same time, I understand that when my wife comes home from the vet clinic and if she's had a brutal day, maybe she's had to put multiple animals down or whatever happened for her, I recognize that she needs to be able to just do nothing. Right. And she'll jump into her iPad and she'll play solitaire or do stuff like that. But it's not something that we do for hours and hours on end. And you know, the balance as well, sporting events, same thing. You know, I don't mean to make you mad, but sporting events, you see the same thing. You know, a friend of mine, we went to a volleyball game and his kid was playing volleyball and he's on his computer the whole time. I'm like, what are you even doing? But making the family a priority and in an entrepreneur's mind, and I've made some people mad about, do you treat your family like you treat your best client? And I had a gentleman the other day tell me, he says, they're not clients. Why are you talking about treating your family like a client? I said, well, it's for the shock and awe effect. The fact that how many times are we treating our client better than we're treating our family? And, you know, engaging with the things that your family likes to do. And sometimes it's painstaking. I talk about in my book, there's a picture behind me of my daughter with a horse going to horse shows. I don't know if you've ever been to a horse show. But for me, it's like watching paint dry because, you know, you're getting the horse ready and there's all this stuff and materialism.
Talk about the smells.
It smells good.
Wakes you up.
It wakes you up. But then they go and they perform for 15 minutes and you're there for 10 hours. But being engaged in that and making sure that there's times that, you know, they see that their passion is important. My son, I mean, I agree in economics and plant science. I joke with people that I wanted to learn how to grow money, but I wasn't a mechanic. And my son loved that stuff. And so we would literally buy engines that weren't working and tear them apart and see how they went together. And most of the time we couldn't get them back together and run. But, you know, that was his passion. And today he's working as a mechanic and on a pit crew in the IndyCar world. And I truly believe it's because I took the time to make sure that I was spending quality time with them doing what they like to do. And And I think being engaged. So the balance is, you know, make it to where you leave work at home. There are times, right? All of us know there are times that we have to do some extra work. Last night I was crunching numbers and doing stuff till 9 p.m., which for me anymore, that's not normal. And I just told my wife, this is something I have to get done because we're getting close to the end of the year. But I think if you tell them you're going to do something, you follow through and do it.
Patrick, Jake has gotten me on what we call level 10 meetings with my wife. Yes, Jake, she's doing level 10 meetings. She's writing the stuff down.
Did you skip Sunday?
She got stuff last night. We didn't do it Sunday because we were at the boot camp Sunday all day. So we got home. I was exhausted. Dude, Broseph, come on. I got home at 5 o'clock. I was exhausted from the weekend.
I did mine yesterday. I didn't do Sunday.
So she's like, Jake can sell me on anything. So I'm like, she's like, I got everything written down. What are we doing this week? We're doing a podcast on Friday. So we got the podcast scheduled up. We have to come to Knoxville this weekend on Saturday. We're flying in because Gino, who's renting the car? Gino, who's got the taxi going to the airport? All that stuff. And those are one of the rhythms that I just incorporated with the wife a week ago. What rhythms do you have or do you do with your family to be able to say, hey, here's some balancing act. Even though I may not be able to spend 8 hours a day with them, I can at least know that I'll be present for whatever's scheduled for the week or the month.
Yeah. And you know, I think in your calendar, if you keep track of stuff, put in the calendar. If you look at my calendar from now until however long the calendar, I'll put it in there. You know, my wife is scheduled for lunch on Thursdays. But if there's an event that you want to be at or something that you want to be to, you know, put it in the calendar and it's set in stone. We have my wife and I sat down. And so, Jake, I apologize. My wife took her phone to a lunch we went the other day. But we are scheduling.
Just throw it away.
We are scheduling weeks that we are traveling to different IndyCar races around the United States, and those things are going into the calendar of my work and the travel day and all that stuff. And I'll put times in that I am available, that I know that. You know, if
so you and the wife get vacations, you may not be into the IndyCar, but you go to the IndyCar, spend some time with your son, and then you guys got a vacation out of it. That sounds
exactly
awesome.
Exactly. So I say schedule it. You know, we schedule everything else on our calendars, at least around work. Why aren't we scheduling that kind of stuff with our family? Mm-hmm.
And before we go to the performance questions, the modern fatherhood, I'm reading in your book that there may be a little bit of a challenge for us as dads and fathers and men, because right now we're getting mixed messaging. Mm-hmm. How do you address that? What do you say to the dad out there who doesn't know where to start or what to do or how to feel or how to think?
Yeah, it's a difficult concept or a difficult question. And I was talking to some young guys in our building recently who've had children. And, you know, one of them is in a conflict already with his wife because she's saying, you got nothing left when you come home. Gino, you were just talking on, you know, 5 o'clock, you're done. And he's given it his all at work to the point of excess, saying, he told me the other day that his goal, if he doesn't make $300,000 this year, he's a failure. And I was just like, what are you talking about? Who planted that in your brain? That if you don't make that kind of money where we live, Eastern Washington, that's a very high income, right? Who planted that in your head that you're gonna risk the relationship with your wife and your brand new baby? On the opposite side, a young guy that's in my office just had a baby, and we're calling him saying, hey man, are you gonna come in? Are you gonna communicate with the team? We have team meetings and you're just like gone. And so to him, he's trying to figure out how little can I work and spend as much time as I can with my child. We got to get this right. And when I say we got to get it right, do you guys have daughters?
Yep, I do. I have five.
I have a daughter that's 20. She's going to be 24. If we don't have a solid relationship as men, if we don't have a solid relationship with our daughters by the time they're 12, 13, 14 years old, we got a huge challenge ahead of us, because when they become teenagers, it's like, where did my daughter go and who is this individual in my house who hates you, right? They potentially are going to go do things that I'm hoping that neither one of you approve of, right? And they're going to look for a relationship with a man because they didn't have one with their dad. And not to step on any toes, because I don't know your guys' backgrounds, but that's a serious, serious issue that we're seeing in America. And you know, there's a big deal going on with fentanyl and all that stuff out here in Washington right now because of the numbers of people who are passing away from it. But also mental health with kids, especially coming out of COVID. And then our sons, the same thing. What are we teaching our sons? Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have that father figure when I was growing up. My father figure were some guys in high school that, you know, some pretty inappropriate stuff that I thought was the way you're supposed to act. And I think it's really important that we take advantage of how do we do this? So if there's a community event where, you know, it's a dad and daughter dance, you know, go to that event. I started barbecuing and doing crazy things for my daughter and her friends. And I wanted her and her friends to be at our house. I didn't want them to be somewhere else. So I didn't know what they were doing. And, you know, we would have a fire pit. We would roast hot dogs and make, you know, different stuff that these kids had never experienced. And all of a sudden, you know, my daughter and her friends are like, hey, can we hang out in your guys' basement? Your dad can make us popcorn and, you know, your mom can pick the movie or whatever. It's really important to start doing that. And none of us are going to get it perfect. That's why I started Progress Not Perfection, PNP Strategies, because, you know, we just got to take steps forward in a positive direction. You hear advertisements all the time for foster parents. You know, you don't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. You just have to be a good human being and help them make good decisions. And so, you know, maybe there's a support group that somebody can get involved with in a local area, a men's group. You know, find out if there's a father-daughter dance, who's organizing that, and make a connection with them because they believe in what I'm talking about. You know, we're doing some stuff through Progress Not Perfection that I'm just kind of getting into this, but I'm really considering starting a study group of people that, you know, like-minded business, busy entrepreneurs can come together and talk about these frustrations and these ideas. Because I think it really, really is important that, and I say get it right, that means perfection, right? Get it right and start making steps to show your family you care. And how many times do you see a dad that just wants their kids to be friends? You know, we're just friends and they're making really poor choices. I'm thinking of a really good friend of mine. They're making really good, poor choices. But he doesn't want to step in and say, hey, this isn't right. Mm-hmm. And I had to call this guy out because his daughter in high school was attending fraternity parties. And I'm thinking, what do you think's going on there? And this is in the same community where the 4 murders just happened at the University of Idaho. Same community, right? And, you know, if that happens to one of us, what is all the rest of this worth? Mm-hmm. To me, it'd be absolutely devastating if that was one of my kids, right?
I agree.
So I think we need to talk about homeschooling a little bit right now, because Gino's been homeschooling for a very long time. My kids are homeschooled as well. And Gino, I'm going to ask you to pitch right now. We don't sell homeschooling, but I want you to make the pitch and the argument for homeschooling, because I think it resolves a lot of these issues just from the process. And I know it's not possible for everyone, but Gino, I'm putting you on the spot right now, and I want you to tell the folks why you homeschool.
Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors, and I'll be right back with the answer, my friend.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
What a tease. What a tease.
Jake, that is the ultimate question for my family. And it was one of the hardest decisions that we ever made. We have six children. As most of the listeners know, my daughter is 23 years old, the oldest one. She's a Catholic missionary right now, all the way down to an eight-year-old. And when we started a little over 20 years ago, we were the oddball out. We were those weird people. Your kids aren't going to be social. They're going to be dumb. Okay, 20 years later, the proof's in the pudding. My kids are normal. They don't have 11 fingers. They can do their math. For me, it was a family choice.
Gino, what's your son's net worth?
More than...
we don't need to get into it, but it's not that for his age.
I'm just saying, it's just an amazing thing. And I think I want to shed light on the fact that you don't have to be this genius. You don't have to be a teacher. All you need to do is to be able to understand that it's a difficult thing. You're with your kids all the time. What I would say is... It's a big commitment. It's a lot of work. But what isn't a lot of work? If you want to start a business and become successful, it's a lot of work as well. You just need to be able to communicate with your spouse. And for us, it was all about expectations. When we got married, my wife wanted to stay home and raise the family, right? She wanted to do that. So we set out early. And then when she decided to, I gave her the leeway. I said, Julia, we'll start. If I don't like where it's going, we can always pivot, right? And she said, yes. And we started with the first child. It was difficult. We didn't get the hang of homeschooling until about Gabriella was probably a senior in high school. So, I mean, it took a long time, a lot of criticism, but the proof's in the pudding. And for us, it's amazing. I don't have problems.
She's not going to frat parties in high school.
Well, it's just amazing. It's for us, I've had a great relationship with all the kids. I've been able to actually, there is no family bouncing act. We were just at a boot camp this weekend. They were all there. They were all selling swag for me. They were at MM5.
And I was pushing those sales skills on them a little bit, you know?
Dude, got $500 bucks in swags this weekend, bro. I mean, yeah, they're great. They understand it. When I had the restaurant, they were always at the restaurant. They would come in at least once a week. We'd have a meal there. And so for us, homeschooling has really been part of this has been part of our lifestyle, and it's done differently nowadays. Nowadays, you don't have to do it. You can go be part of a cooperative. You can have a teacher come in a couple of days a week, and it's alternative. And for those of you that don't like what's being taught in schools, it's you can do it. If you can teach your kids, you know, to walk, to talk, to go to the bathroom, to eat, to communicate, you can teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic. I promise. And for us and for Jake, I know when I started, I met Jake several years ago. He must have thought I was a little weirdo also. He's like, what are you doing? You're eating organic food. You're teaching your kids. You're homeschooling. You're having your home births. What's wrong with you, Gino? And then
the home birth still kind of scares me a little bit, but I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Well, it scares me, bro. It's not up my alley. It's like my wife. I said, you want to do what? That was another conversation. And that's one of those things where you have to have faith in your spouse. If that's what she truly wants to do, sometimes you just need to go for it. And, you know, I know it was a long-winded answer, but for those of you out there that are seriously contemplating it, it is an amazing lifestyle. And it really is well-suited for the entrepreneur who wants to have flexibility and doesn't have to be told, hey, you only have Christmas break and winter recess to go away on vacation. My kids this weekend went to the boot camp. We didn't have school yesterday because guess what? They worked all weekend. They were in a room with 150 other entrepreneurs. That's school right there, Stenziano. What say you, my friend?
But they learned, you know, that was school for them, right? Mm-hmm. The school of life.
That's right.
I mean, some of the most successful clients I have, never went to college, right? Some of them didn't graduate.
It doesn't service anymore. Okay. It was built an antiquated system to provide factory workers for Ford. Okay. That was a factory model. It doesn't serve people nowadays. Most of the things that people learn in college do not service nowadays. And I think homeschooling, if you look at it, look at the results. The proof is in the pudding. I'm going to call it results-based parenting, you know, but no, but ultimately look, you're, and I'm just going to say, like, if just take your son, for example, he can underwrite multifamily deals. He's very successful at a very young age, and he's a sound and polite young man. And you know, what more can you ask for? Right. Jake, well, seriously, what more can you ask for?
Two quick stories for everybody. The first one was he was doing, I sent him to college. He's going to college because I wanted him to get into rhythms. I wanted him to be able to challenge his professors. I wanted him to create relationships. And he's studying for a test about 3 weeks ago, and he looks terrible. I'm like, Mike, how are you doing? You feeling okay? He's like, I'm not doing good. That I got a fever, but I got to study for this test. And I'm like, that's it, bro. That's part of life, doing things that you want, that you don't want to do, but you need to do. And he says to me, you know, I learned from the best. And that was like one of the most highlights of me being a parent, because he's looking at me, because I never packed it in. Whenever I was sick, I would go to work, and I would never not call in sick. I have to provide for the family. And the other one was when we took over property, Jake, the Stockton property, several years ago. I remember he put in his own money, and he would actually say to me, Dad, why aren't we having owner draws this month? And I would say to Jake, why aren't we doing it? And then all of a sudden we started tracking KPIs based on economic occupancy and based on market rent units. We had about 40 units that were below market rent, and we started tracking that. And now all of a sudden he's asking me about seller financing and how he wants me to get diluted with seller financing. So involve your children in your business. It's amazing that, hey, I'm not a mechanic. They may not be like that mechanic lifestyle, but they may like becoming an entrepreneur and going and looking at houses and going and looking at deals and going to the boot camps and learning about, you know, multifamily. So just include your children and make them part of your business. That's what I've learned for us that works as a family.
Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing about multifamily too, is that, look, you could be a multifamily owner and still do something else, and that can free you up for other things. So it's really cool.
Yes.
Getting back a little bit, Patrick, you know, you're talking about your rhythms and organization and things like that. Talk about your rhythms and how you stay organized, not only from the work side, but also make sure that you and your wife are dialed in together.
Well, I have a bit of ADD, and so my team at work, knows that I have ADD, and I drink too much coffee or whatever. I get a little bit. I can chase frisbees all day. And so
stay in your lane, Patrick. Stay in your
Patrick,
lane.
Patrick, I've got to cut in for 1 second. Who in this world doesn't have a little bit of ADD? I mean, it's just
an entrepreneur, you do.
There's so many things out there. You got Instagram, you got Facebook, you got LinkedIn, you got Jake over here. I mean, there's so many things that are
being a human. Drop the stupid titles with it, right?
At least for me.
So it's multifold. I mean, part of it is my wife and making sure that we don't just have one meal together all week. I mean, that's a day where we go to lunch, and when we're at lunch, we're talking about how are we doing? You know, is there anything on your mind that I'm doing that's bugging you? Or, you know, that's our day of check-in, but we have dinner every night together.
It's awesome.
We spend a lot of time together now, and, you know, we pray together. And again, that Thursday, a lot of people go, oh, it's a date. You're going to a movie and you're not communicating and you're holding hands and eating popcorn. No, the Thursday for us is a check-in day to make sure that we're on track. We don't want the check engine light in the car to come on. And so talking about what's the week ahead. On Sundays, we just sit down and we talk about what's the week ahead. What do I need to do for you? Do we need to make any extra meals? You know, what's going on? Our kids are both gone. One's in Indianapolis and one's at veterinary school herself. And so the check-in for real, and my wife knows it's a safe conversation. You know, Pat, you stink, you need to go take a shower. Or, hey, you're spending way too much time at the cabin, or different things. At work, my team knows that they need to help me prioritize. And so when I'm done with this call today, this podcast today, I'm going to sit down with my team, and we're going to talk through the things that have to get done. And you guys know the saying of move the rocks first, don't play in the sandbox, right? Whatever the five rocks are that need to get moved, I'm moving those first. And so for me, knowing that if I veer away from that and I start muddling in other stuff, those five items aren't going to get accomplished. And that causes stress for everybody at the office, causes stress for me at home. And so getting back grounded to, you know, start the day of what do I have to do to make sure that at the end of the day, I can say, well, I checked those five off and then I, you know.
A lot of times it's one though. If you get that one thing done, everything else, it's not that you're not going to do 20 other things, but not letting that one thing slip that is going to move the needle more than anything else. And I think that if you can have a rhythm with yourself where you write that one thing down every morning, regardless if it's on your calendar or not, and you know damn well that you're not going to stop until that gets done, that is a very, very good best practice, because I think a lot of people miss on it and think it's like foo-foo or whatever. But when it comes down to it, I don't want to make that call, or this person makes me uncomfortable, so you avoid it. And then it gets kicked to tomorrow. And then it's like, well, you talk yourself out of, maybe I don't even have to do it. No. That's where the magic happens, that one thing a lot of times. Yeah.
And that one thing, if you're avoiding it, it stays on your mind and you're thinking about it. But I, you know, I made a list, short list this morning.
And you're checking it twice.
And I'm checking it twice, but the list,
it's right around that time of year.
Yeah. Some of the stuff on my list has nothing to do with work. It has things that my wife said, I need you to deal with this. Right. And so,
and she does got you. She's got you right
so
now.
Patrick,
man.
does your wife say, I was thinking, this is what I was thinking, or hey, babe? Because Jake's wife says, hey, babe. And that's when we got to pull out the wallet. My wife, when she wants something, she goes, Gino, I was thinking. When I hear those words, it is the kiss of death.
Gino just chucks the wallet. And Gino's like a George Costanza. He's got like that 6-inch wallet still that gives him
back
problems.
Broccoli band on there. Yes. I got the little cash going. I just give her the cash and I say, whatever you need, baby.
Yeah, well, I think you guys have it, you know, it's a little different, because when my wife doesn't talk to me for 2 days, it's like, okay, babe, I'm saying that. What is it that I've done? What did I forget? But, you know, we've made it now. So many people have so much stuff going on that you forget. If it's not written down, you just forget it. And so making that list, checking it twice, prioritizing, getting the stuff done you have to get done. And if you can get it done, you know, first thing, what a win, right? Day's a win. Everything else is gravy.
Mm-hmm. Any books that you've read in the last year or so that have added value to your life?
Who Not How, Dan Sullivan's book, Who Not How, fantastic book. Yeah. It talks about the fact that so many people try and take their weaknesses and get better at them. Forget that. Hire somebody that's really good at that weakness, right? Who are you going to get to help you do the different things you're doing? I'm rereading.
Unless it's having a good relationship with your wife, you got to work on that shit yourself.
True. You know, what I tell people is there's typically two reasons for divorce in America. One's finances and one's intimacy. I can help you with one. I can't help you with the other. Drive is another book that I really like, by Daniel Pink. And that again, helps us be better employers, of trying to figure out who on your team, you know, what motivates them. And Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why, I spent a lot of time talking about that in my book, but my team now, we're going through that book and we're kind of rewriting, the vision and what it is that we do for our clients, and really truthfully, why are we doing it? It's not about what, it's about why we do it. And so those are the ones that I would focus on. Just got a new book called What's in It for Them. I haven't opened it.
You can't talk about it then.
Joe Polish, but that was recommended to me by Dan Sullivan's group, Strategic Coach. And so that'll probably be my next one.
All right. So do you got the book? You got it on you? Hold it up for the folks on YouTube. Gino's got it there. And then also best place to get it. Is there a hub or is it just Amazon? Or
It's on Amazon. Yeah. Kindle, hardback, paperback. Best place to get it's on Amazon.
All right, Gino, you're up.
So Patrick Cummings' grandfather was a logger, worked 6 days a week. His pops started doing the same thing. His pops was working as an athletic director back in the 70s and 80s, I'm assuming. Yep. And that kind of work was difficult because the only way you'd make money was to work more. And when you work more and you're helping other kids out, you're sort of neglecting your own kids, which is the true irony in life. Because I'm assuming that your father was very passionate about helping children. And that irony was probably lost upon him when he had two of his own sons. I know your brother's name is Scott. And I know that they haven't really reconciled. And to think about that, it's really a warning sign for all of us that are listening on this right now. We have the ability. Don't use, well, it happened to me as an excuse. It really did happen to you. But you have the opportunity to make the choice right now to say, I don't want to be like my father, or I don't want to be like my mother. I have the opportunity to say, I want to reconnect with my kids. It's never too late to do that. And I think children always like to hear when their parents are wrong, I'm sorry, I made a huge mistake. And if we can do that, I don't want to say it's never
not easy either.
It's not easy, nothing, but it's something that we really need to focus on, because as children get older, they start having their own families and you're starting to impact and to create that cycle. Do you want that? So as fathers out there, the relationship that you have with your daughter, they're going to marry that person. If you're a jerk to your daughter, guess what? They're going to marry a jerk. If you're a loving father who respects women and treats them great, and you're there as that support, they're going to be attract to that person. So it's all up to you. I'm going to hold up the book again, The Family Balancing Act. Go out and buy it on Amazon. It's really for top of mind. The last thing I'd like to say is schedule. Put everything in a schedule. Even if it's a date with your kids, a date with your wife, you need to put time. And if you want to think of them as clients, what would you do for your client? Would you jump on a plane and visit your client tomorrow if they had a huge contract? Why wouldn't you do the same thing for your family?
Exactly.
Well said, Gino. And Gino, I'm going to say this to you too. We were talking about being present earlier today. My daughter called us out to build a puzzle last night. She had like the frame done, and we got into it. We got like half of it done. She quit before we ever did. And I'm going to tell you right now, puzzles are pretty fun. I haven't done one in like 20 years. This was awesome. So, you know, do a puzzle this Christmas season, folks. You'll damn enjoy it and see if you can outlast your kids. Gang, this has been a lot of fun. As always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's a G-Daddy. And we make it happen. We'll see you next time.